Now, having children is seen as a joyous event and a rite of passage for many adults. But while children themselves are thought to bring happiness and fulfillment to parents, American parents are markedly unhappy.
That's according to a new study looking at parental happiness compared to people without children in 22 developed countries. And that study found that not only were American parents unhappy, they were the least happy group studied.
Jennifer Glass joins us to talk about why parents in the United States are lagging behind their counterparts abroad. And she's a professor of sociology at the Population Research Center at the University of Texas at Austin, also co-author of that new report. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, what exactly is the parental happiness gap?
This is the gap in reported happiness between people who are parents currently having children living in the home and people who are not parents currently do not have children living in the home. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that this does not mean that Americans overall are really unhappy. Actually, Americans overall are pretty happy. At least we report high levels of happiness. But our gap between parents and non-parents is the largest in the industrialized world. So there are nations that, you know, people just generally don't report being as happy. We think that this reflects cultural standards that Americans are taught that they're supposed to be happy, and if they're not, it's their own fault. And in other cultures, it's kind of gauche to be trumpeting your happiness. So we really just focused on within country differences. How big was the gap in that country? And what we found was that the American reporters had the biggest happiness gap.
And why did you want to dive into this and find out exactly what was going on here?
There's a kind of cottage industry of sociologists and psychologists who study happiness in the United States, and they were coming out with a lot of information suggesting that parents were significantly less happy with their lives than non-parents. And this was picked up a lot by the media. There was even a book done by a reporter called All Joy and No Fun talking about parenting. And we were just wondering whether or not this could be a reflection of the way in which parenthood is organized in the United States with very, very little public support, whereas in many European nations and in other English-speaking nations like Australia and New Zealand, there's lots of public support for parents to make that transition to parenthood easier and to support new families financially. So our working hunch was that maybe this unhappiness gap was really more about what it's like to be a parent in some societies and what it's like to be a parent in other societies. And not surprisingly, that's exactly what we found, that this happiness gap that exists in the United States is non-existent in the Nordic countries and in some Eastern European countries as well.
So it's not a story about how being a parent is overhyped and really you'll be happier if you don't have kids. It's more that if there are the structures in place, policies that support you as a parent, including financially and in other ways, that's what's causing the unhappiness, not the children themselves.
Right, exactly. So what we found is that parenthood as a phenomenon generally gives people lots and lots of pleasure, and parents, when you talk to them, will talk about the kind of undying love and devotion they feel for their children and how much they've enriched their lives. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, the daily grind, the stresses of trying to be a parent in the United States, especially because most of our parents in the U.S. are expected to also work full-time, you find that our conditions of employment and our work schedules and other kinds of social policies regarding education, public schooling, and daycare are just very far behind what other countries are offering.
Can you compare a little bit for us? How does the United States look when you compare the policies that affect families with, say, someplace in Scandinavia that's pretty top of the scales when you look at policies, maybe Sweden?
We look terrible. We actually have what we call a comprehensive policy index that combined policies in a wide variety of areas, but most basically in terms of child care support, in terms of employment support, which would be paid parenting leave, but also paid sick and vacation leave. And then we also looked at work flexibility, how much flexibility you had to work from home or to change the hours or the days that you worked. And the U.S. gives workers the least entitlements to these, and our tax system gives the least preferential treatment. And our child care system is almost entirely privatized, and the government plays very little role in that. So, again, we had the biggest happiness gap, and we were dead last on the public policy index as well.
Did you take a look at, in particular, which policies caused or lack of those policies caused the most unhappiness?
Yes, and we were kind of surprised by what we found because we thought that parenting leave was going to be really big. The fact that there's no paid maternity or paternity leave in the United States at the federal level, although a few states and jurisdictions have it. But we were very surprised to find out that the number one impact came from paid sick and vacation time. The countries that had combined days of paid sick and vacation time that were relatively high by government statute, have the smallest happiness gaps. There's a very strong correlation with that, as well as with the overall index. And the second most important factor was the average cost of child care for those under the age of five as a percentage of the median wage in that country. And what we found, again, is that child care costs are very high in the United States for the average worker, whereas in many, many countries, not only does the government strongly subsidize early childhood education like they do K-12 schooling, but they also provide high-quality preschool for all of their children. Whereas in the United States, again, it's kind of a patchwork. If you're lucky, you're in a city that has good options. If you're in a smaller community or in a rural area, you have really very, very few options for care outside the home.
And do you have a handle on whether this affects men or women more?
We were also surprised by this. Both men and women report the same sized happiness gap. So this is something that affects fathers as much as mothers. We did notice one slight deviation, but it was not, as we say in statistical language, it was not statistically significant. And that was that fathers were a bit more sensitive to the price variables, the cost of childcare, and mothers were a bit more sensitive to the amount of paid leave that you had. But again, these differences were relatively small, and I don't want to exaggerate them. In most cases, you could just say the story was very, very similar for moms and dads.
We're talking to Jennifer Glass right now about why American parents are unhappy compared to their parental peers abroad. She's a professor of sociology at the Population Research Center at the University of Texas at Austin. The findings from this research that it is the policies in place that do not support families and subsidize childcare, things like that, that make American parents unhappy compared to places where the policies are maybe more family friendly.
And we want to hear from you. Are you a parent feeling the pinch of no vacation time, high childcare costs, or maybe inflexible work environments? What would you like to see change in order to make your life as a parent easier? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page or email your thoughts to talk@wpr.org.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about a new study that shows there's a massive gap in happiness between American parents compared not only to childless people in the United States, but to parents in countries like Sweden or France. And it turns out that gap is due to the policies that are in place, and the more supportive the policies are of the families, helping to pay for things, flexible work schedules, paid parental leave, the happier the parents are.
And we want to hear from you. Are you a parent who would like to see some of those more family-friendly policies implemented where you work? What would make you happier as a parent? And do you think this needs to be a nationwide effort to make, for instance, paid parental leave a reality? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
Jennifer Glass stays with us. She's a professor of sociology at the Population Research Center at the University of Texas at Austin, and she co-authored this recent study we're talking about on the parental happiness gap. And Jennifer, one question we should ask right off the bat is, why should we care if a bunch of American parents are unhappy? I guess if you're unhappy and you don't have the supports because society isn't set up that way, maybe you don't have kids. So why should we care?
Well, you just put your finger on it. Maybe you won't have kids. Few people realize that one of the reasons why employers have tolerated massive illegal immigration in the United States is because there simply aren't enough babies being born in the United States to keep up our population. So, especially following the recession, the United States is recording its lowest fertility rate in many, many, many years. Not since the Great Depression have we seen fertility rates this low. So honestly, we don't know of any societies that function well and economically prosper when they are predominantly filled with old people and have very few young people. And that's what the future of our country is going to look like if people decide en masse to just opt out of parenting.
And do you think that, given what you've seen so far, are we heading in that direction?
I think we are. This has already occurred in many European countries. In fact, it's a national obsession in countries like Spain and Italy and Greece right now. We're watching Russia, for example, depopulate, and this is going to have grave consequences for their economic security in the future. So most of the countries in Europe that have faced this issue square on are the ones that have developed these policies to encourage childbearing. And so, for example, you don't see this fertility problem in the Scandinavian countries. You don't see this fertility problem in France, but you do see it in Germany, and Germany is trying as fast as they possibly can to look more like the Scandinavian states in response to that. I also want to point out that these policies do not hurt the happiness of non-parents. So things like making sure everyone has adequate paid sick leave and vacation are things that people without dependents are just as happy about as parents are. They just matter more to parents because parents experience additional stress when they don't have adequate leave. So if you look at that and also look at the child care supports, we were amazed to find that countries that have better child care supports have happier non-parents. So these are people who are not directly using these child care supports. So we think these are what are called in economic terms positive externalities, things that make everybody happier because well-raised children are more productive workers, they're less likely to be delinquent, they're more likely to stay in school and learn more. So we think that everybody benefits when children's cognitive skills are developed, when we pay a lot of attention and invest in them when they're young.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Josh joining us from Elkhorn. Hi, Josh.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm actually a single dad. I was the primary parent of my son for many years, and now him and his mother, or myself and his mother, co-parent him. And I was just wondering, maybe just if we could talk a little bit about the options that dads have with an absence of mothers. I've always had an interesting time kind of dealing with that whole process and that system myself.
Are you talking about policies, Josh, or something more social?
Even just social stuff, as far as kind of dealing with other parents or families. Also, I think a little bit along the lines of like access to health care, access to just stuff like that.
Josh, thank you. And what do you think, Jennifer? What advice or observations do you want to share with Josh?
I think that there are a lot of people in Josh's situation. We see more and more single dads, and of course the number of kids that are raised in solo parent households is at an all-time high right now. And one of the things we have to understand is that these policy supports that are nice for dual earner families are absolutely imperative for single parents. I mean, they literally don't have another partner that they can foist the pickup after school on, and they literally are the only one that can go to the parent-teacher conference or who can take the child to the doctor when they're sick. So being able to take paid leave in order to handle the medical emergencies of your children or even just routine appointments for yourself or your child's health are extremely important. And we see too often that parents get fired from their jobs because they have unexcused absences when they have to stay home with a sick child. And that just shouldn't happen, because when you fire somebody who's a parent, you're not just punishing them, you're also punishing the child.
Thanks a lot for that call, Josh. Appreciate that. And we're going to move to Fran in Caledonia. Hi, Fran.
Hi.
What did you want to share? Yeah, go ahead.
I have been both an employee. I'm in my 70s now, but I have been both an employee and an employer. I went to law school when my children were in their early teens and then practiced law. So I know the stress and the difficulty of trying to cope with handling your children's illnesses, getting to their school meetings, et cetera. But I also know the stress that it places on employers, particularly small employers. My law firm always worked around it because I was adamant that our employees, particularly our female employees, would be able to go to school conferences and stay home with sick kids. But it did cause disruption. So my thought is that if it were a national policy, something akin to unemployment insurance, then you would not have sort of arbitrary heavy burdens placed on employers when, let's say, there is a serious illness in the family or a parent is dying, that kind of thing.
Fran, thanks a lot for that. And Fran has seen what this looks like in action on both sides, it sounds like, and she thinks that it needs to be applied universally at the federal level. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
I absolutely agree with Fran. Your comments were brilliant. None of these other nations have called upon individual employers to provide these supports. They have all decided that this is part of, literally, Social Security. So their Social Security systems are cradle to grave. They're not just after 65 or 67. What they feel is that the general taxation revenues, sometimes they use different tax mechanisms, but the general taxation revenues should cover things that benefit the entire population. And they believe that keeping sick people home so that they don't spread diseases and making sure that parents have time to interact with schools and teachers is vital to the success of the economy. And if you look at the economic growth and the wealth of the countries that have made these investments, it's hard to argue against them because they are doing quite well relative to those nation states that have decided to avoid these kinds of family supports. So I completely agree. This is not something that small employers can handle on their own. This is a collective responsibility.
And Jennifer, do you see a political appetite and a social push to have the kind of policies that you're talking about?
Absolutely. What we're seeing is federal inaction and a lot of state and local action as a result. So if we could just get our Congress to actually talk about the issues facing the American people, maybe we could get some federal traction. There's clearly immense popular support for paid parenting leave. That was not among the things that was most impactful in our study because it really only affects people at the point of a birth. Unfortunately, after that kid turns one, you still have them for at least 17 more years, and they still get sick and they still need time from you. So we think that the paid sick and vacation leave are the policies that we should be pushing. Now, paid sick leave has a lot of traction. There are lots of cities and an increasing number of states that are providing paid sick leave. But I don't think it's fair to say, geez, the kind of support you get depends on where you live in this great country.
We leave it there. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
That was Jennifer Glass, professor of sociology of Population Research Center at the University of Texas at Austin, talking about a study showing that American parents are more unhappy than people, other parents abroad, and it comes down to the policies that support families. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time.